This is FM 100.5 and 101.9. AM 1450, Rutherford County's place to talk. WGNS, Murfreesboro, your good neighbor station. Stand by, Murfreesboro. The WGNS action line continues a search for truth.
I know you're out there somewhere.
Good morning to you. Welcome into the Action Line from WGNS. This morning we're talking lawns and gardens, and if you have not already discovered this, I will remind you of it again. If you miss something on the program and you want to hear it again and again and again and again, you can now listen to any of the programs like the Action Line, the Truman Show, or any of the shows, Rutherford Issues, on our podcast. They're on our website. And you can go back. If Mitchell says something, you say, what was that he said? They're there for you to listen to in the future. You can listen to Mitchell at 3 in the morning if you wish.
That's a little bit scary, Bart, to know that these words might be there for a long time.
They're out there waiting and secretly ready to lurch at you.
Well, I'm going to be careful about what I say.
Mitchell, it's good to have you with us this morning.
Oh, Bart, it's a great place to be on a fine morning.
And I'm sure that people are calling you about getting the lawns ready. We're right here on the time to redo that yard.
We're right on the cusp, I guess. Yeah.
This is the time.
Almost there.
What should we be doing if we're out there cusping?
Oh, well, you need to be making plans right now, okay. I guess. It's probably just a tick early to get started on that, but what is today? The 18th?
18th of August. It is.
Yeah, August half gone. Mm-hmm. And, you know, the month of September through the early part of October is the time that we would suggest that folks will do their cool season turf grass renovation, improvements, whatnot, things like that. If they have some thinned out areas due to heat or maybe drought stress and they want to thicken those back up, boy, that's the time to do it. If they want to establish a new cool season lawn, and by cool season I'm referring to tall fescue bluegrasses, tall fescue bluegrass blends, things like that. That's the cool season grasses. And there are folks right now that have tall fescue turfs that have been thinned out just due to the weather. And, they have to remember that the tall fescue, being a cool season grass, it basically is going to thrive at 70 degrees, and at 90 degrees to 90 to 100 degree range, it kind of takes a beating. But you just have to understand that that's the nature of it, and if you're going to maintain a tall fescue turf here in Rutherford County or anywhere in Middle Tennessee, for that matter, you have to be just willing to accept that, I guess, because it's going to happen. Even on irrigated sites, it may not be as much loss, but on non-irrigated sites, it's going to happen. So, as we get ready for fall lawn care, you know, those are the things you start thinking about. Doing your fall fertilization, turf grass, the cool season turf grasses, that's when the majority of the fertilization is done, during the fall time, the October, November time period, September, October, November on cool season turf grasses. On warm season grasses, you know, Bermuda grass, zoysia grass, all the cool thing is, guess what happens, you know, usually sometime in October,
mm-hmm.
we have a frost,
absolutely.
Okay, and stuff stops growing, so you put the lawnmower away. Stop early, exactly. And you can also do some things with those warm season grasses. You have some options that you don't have with a cool season. You can use pre-emerges on those warm season grasses to keep things out of the lawn this winter and early next spring. You can keep the annual bluegrass out of it. You can keep the those winter annual broadleaf weeds like chickweed and henbit and so on. And you can't necessarily do that if you're trying to reseed or overseed the cool season grasses. Now, if you have a cool season turf, you don't need to do any overseeding or reseeding on it. You can do the same thing. Use those pre-emergent herbicides, much like you would for crabgrass in the spring, but instead you're doing it in the late summer, early fall period to keep some of those weeds out that come along during the wintertime. And with that in mind, the next brown bag lunch program that we have, which will be next Thursday, the 25th, The topic is fall lawn care or preparing for fall lawn care. Mm-hmm. So that will be at 11:30 to 12:30 there in the auditorium at the Lane AgriPark Office Complex, 315 John Rice Boulevard.
Not today, but next Thursday.
Not today, but next Thursday. It's called a brown bag lunch program because if you want to eat, you can bring your lunch in a bag or you can bring it in a bucket or a sack or a lunch box, whatever. And sit and eat and listen and ask questions and visit with other folks and hopefully get something that will help you out of that.
Tell us about the lawn plots that you have over there where people can actually see the different types of grasses and what the advantages are of seeing them and touching them.
Okay. Well, we do have 20-some-odd, I think 23 different plots of about 50-square-foot plots each of just a variety of different turf grasses that are available here locally that you're going to find when you go into the garden centers and look for grass seed. You'll find them there. The majority are the cool season offerings. And I guess maybe a benefit of that or a plus of that is, let's say that we'll just pick one out of the possibilities there, let's say Southern Gold. And Southern Gold is a tall fescue blend. And you think, well, gosh, it's Southern Gold. I wonder what it looks like. How does it grow? What kind of texture does it have? So on. Well, I mean, you can see a little plot of Southern Gold growing there. And you think, well, you know, I like that Southern Gold. I think I'll buy some or I want to try that. Or you think, well, I don't really like the way Southern Gold looks. I may want to try something else. So you can kind of see what they look like. Also, how they have held up, you know, during the season here. Now, I will say this just as a caveat. Those plots, they do get watered, so we do supplemental irrigation on those, and also do disease control, take disease control measures on those plots as well. So if you look at those, you think, well, boy, those look pretty good. I want you to understand that that has been done throughout the growing season, and if you don't do that, then you may have a little bit different kind of response or different result from it. But we also have centipede grass plots, Bermuda grass, and
what is a centipede grass plot?
Well, it's just plot
centipede grass. When I think of a centipede, I think of a thing that's crawling around.
Centipede is a warm season grass that so that falls in the same category as Bermuda and Zoysia grass. And it's a little different, a little coarser texture than the fine textured Bermuda grass is for sure. It's not as aggressive in growth as the Bermuda grass is, but it is a creeping grass. Mm-hmm. Okay, so it does run, it does spread, it spreads by stolons above ground. And I guess a good feature of centipede grass is it would be thought of as a low input grass, low input in terms of nutrition. It doesn't require as much nitrogen fertilizer as, say, a real high quality Bermuda grass turf would. Approximately half as much nitrogen per year on that centipede grass as the Bermuda grass would take. So that's, you know, that might be an advantage in that regard. A disadvantage is that centipede grass, even though it is a hot weather, a warm season grass, it is not as drought tolerant as Bermuda grass or Zoysia grass is, but it is it's a nice grass. It makes a pretty turf. It doesn't grow super tall, so it'll tolerate a fairly close mowing, and it's not very prone to producing real heavy seed heads. The variety that I have there, I have two plots of it, is one that's called a Tiff Blair.
Tiff Blair.
Yeah, okay. Tiff Blair centipede. And it is that Tiff Blair centipede. It's a seeded variety. It was selected, okay, and developed to withstand cold, you know, mm-hmm. this far north. Well, we don't think we're very far north, but compared, say, to Florida or lower Alabama, Mississippi, and southern Georgia, we're considerably further north than they are. And centipede grasses have been grown in those more southern regions for a long, long time. And the reason that we haven't been able to grow them here on a large scale is because the varieties that were out there were not cold tolerant enough. Well, this Tiff Blair has proven to be cold tolerant enough. It's survived now, I guess, going on 4 years. I guess the downside to it is that seed is relatively expensive, somewhere in the neighborhood of $30 a pound, but it does not take a lot of pounds to cover a pretty big area. But anyway, that's out there. If somebody wants to see some centipede grass, they can do it. There is a, if you want to know what you're looking at, you can go into the office there, the extension office at Suite 101 at 315 John Rice Boulevard and pick up a plot diagram, and it has the plots labeled as to what each one is.
Now, this is also the time of the year that a lot of people are doing landscaping at their homes, bushes, trees, shrubbery, things of that sort.
Yeah, fall of the year kind of puts you in mind of planting in
that.
General.
Mm-hmm.
That does.
Is there a certain, a lot of people are new to the area and have come from areas that perhaps other plants grow better in.
Mm-hmm.
How can they select the ones that grow best in this area?
Well, you know, Bart, I mean, this sounds a little bit simplistic, I guess, and there may be some folks that would, you know, argue with me and think that there's a better way to do this. But I kind of look at it this way. If a nursery or a retail outlet is, if they're in the business for the long haul, the plants they offer for sale, you know, have probably got a reasonably good chance of surviving here.
Mm-hmm.
Otherwise, they would not they wouldn't have those offered for sale. Now, so in that regard, you've got a pretty good you have a fair amount of confidence that that those shrubs, those ornamental grasses, etc., you know, they will grow here, assuming that we provide the what we're supposed to provide for them. You know, that we install them correctly and ensure that you know, have adequate nutrition. We prepared our site correctly to start with, things like that. So that is, you know, as good a way as any. Now, even though plants may grow here, some may be more desirable than others. You know, for instance, picking out a say it's just an ornamental shade tree in your lawn. Well, if you want a pretty color, well, you need to think about it. Well, what are some pretty colored trees that occur or that grow here, and we look forward to seeing those in the fall of the year? Well, one that comes to mind is maple.
Yeah, beautiful.
Well, gosh, there are a lot of maple trees out there. And you may run across, well, there's a silver maple, or here is a red maple. Okay, well, silver maple, red maple, which one? Well, I would suggest to you that maybe you ought to go with a red maple versus a silver maple.
Now, why is that?
Because a silver maple doesn't have real pretty fall color. It doesn't have the best structure in the world. It's a little bit more prone, I think, to having limb breakage, and it is very prone to having roots that will run on top of the ground, will grow on top of the ground, large roots.
Mm-hmm.
And that is, you know, over time used to be an obstacle just for mowing, for instance, and
sure.
Things like that. So there's a case. Both those trees will grow fine here, but one's more desirable than the other. But just the fact that which plants will grow. If the garden center is, especially when they offer, you know, replacement guarantees on them, you know, those plants are, they will grow here if we'll just do what we're supposed to do and take care of them and understand the kind of places they need to be planted in.
Now, will they guide you toward things that really will be better for your home, or will they guide you toward things that they have in stock?
Well, you know, Bart, if you're in the business to sell something, I suspect you'd want to sell what you have there.
That's right.
So I can't speak for what an individual is going to do that. Now, we can supply some information about you know, how you should install plants and mm-hmm. prepare planting area and, you know, desirable trees versus undesirable trees simply because of characteristics such as seed formation and drop, that sort of thing. You know, a cherry tree, for instance, a wild cherry tree. Well, wild cherry is a native tree, but I don't know that you want to go plant one out near the driveway because it drops those little wild cherries all over the place. It makes a mess on the mm-hmm. pavement, you know, things like that. Or, you know, sycamore trees. Gosh, they're great, big, pretty trees. You know, when they get mature, have just really wide leaves, just a beautiful spreading canopy and just a majestic kind of tree. But they also have a seed pod, a fairly large round seed pod about the size of a, you know, an old quarter jawbreaker, and they're going to fall off. And those little seeds can then, you know, those things can break open, little seeds can fly everywhere. Well, if you don't want that debris, say, in the gutters or on the driveway, then you ought not to plant one of those. Same thing for like a sweet gum tree. So we can provide information like that. You know, when you're putting, you know, shrubs out around the home, well, some shrubs tolerate wet ground more than others do. You know, for instance, my mind just went blank, but Taxus yew, okay, mm-hmm. You know, yew, very, very nice little needle-bearing shrubs, got a nice kind of a lighter green color often, or they can be darker green, and they can be sheared to square shapes, rounded shapes, or let them grow in a natural shape. But if you plant those in an area where the ground doesn't drain very well and you have a tendency to hold moisture there, they're not going to thrive. They're going to die. So, you know, things like that, yeah, we can give some assistance along those lines.
And one of the important things right now, and really you need to do this, is to get a soil sample before you go out and start planting.
Do a soil test. Soil tests will tell you kind of where you are in terms of, you know, soil pH, phosphorus levels, potassium levels, things like that. And will give you a program, if you will, a fertilization program to follow that will supply the needs, the nutritional needs of that particular crop or plants. You know, if you're growing just ornamental shrubs, okay, well, that's your crop. Okay. Mm-hmm. And mm-hmm. so you'll have recommendations as to how to fertilize those or how to amend the soil in terms of adding lime, not adding lime, things like that, to give them the best chance of survival.
Now, do you need more than one soil test? I mean, if you're, let's say, for example, you're planting some trees in the backyard, planting some trees in the front yard, mm-hmm. and you're also in that same property, which may be, you know, 3/4 to 1/2 acre, not a huge piece of land. You're also planning on a little garden back in the back. Do you need a soil test for each area?
Well, very often you do not. If the property is fairly uniform, you know, in terms of is it pretty much on the same landscape position? By that, is the back part? Do you have a large slope there? Is it kind of on a foot slope, or mm-hmm. Do you have a lower elevation in the back versus the front, or vice versa? If by all accounts, as you have, you know, if you've lived there for a while, if you can't really discern any major difference or the way the plants that are there perform, it's much easier to manage that entire property as a unit. And if you don't see a lot of variation or any reason for you to think that there's variation in that ground, then yes, one sample is enough. Now, a sample, though, consists of a lot of sub-samples.
Okay.
And so what you want to do is you start at some corner of the property. And at that corner, you take your first subsample. And a subsample needs to be the top 6 inches of soil. You want a 6-inch sample. You don't dig 6 inches deep and then take a sample. You want the top 6 inches of ground. And it doesn't matter what you dig it up with, whether it's a shovel, a post hole digger, a soil probe, you know, a piece of conduit driven into the ground and poke a plug out with a dowel rod when you're through. Those all are fine, but you want to collect those subsamples in the same bucket, all right? You start at one corner, and from there, you start moving across the property. You want to zigzag kind of back and forth so that you have collected samples from every area, okay, mm-hmm. in the property. You're saying, you know, 1/2 acre, 3/4 acre lot. 12, 15 subsamples is a good goal to shoot for.
Okay.
Because you then are creating a better picture. You know, you have sampled the different areas. If you're going to manage it as a unit, then you need to have a good idea of what's out there, a good representation of that ground. You mix all that together to create your soil sample. Mm-hmm. And out of that, a cup of soil is adequate in terms of quantity to have a good soil test run. And when you fill out your soil test information sheet, you know, your name, you know, your personal information, contact information, things like that. And then you're going to say, okay, crop codes. Well, all right, I want to plant just ornamental shrubs. Okay, so you choose, it has codes there for that. So you'll put in mm-hmm. the ornamental shrub code. And I want to grow, let's say, cool season turf grass, so you use a code for that. And a vegetable garden, use a code for that. All out of the same sample. And the report will come back with, you know, what is there. You know, here's what your pH is, your buffer pH, here's potassium, mm-hmm. Phosphorus levels, et cetera, things like that. Do you need to add any lime to adjust the pH and so on? And then you've got your fertilization program for all of those different crops, you know, by section.
Okay.
So you get a lot of information out of one little soil test.
And all you have to do is take that by the Agricultural Extension Service.
Yeah, you can bring it by the office, and the ladies there will help you package it up and get it shipped off. Or you can pick the materials up and at the office and then package it up and send it yourself if you'd rather. But, you know, a lot of folks, it's just easier just to drop mm-hmm. it off there, and we'll get it to the lab. The lab is in Nashville at Ellington Ag Center. That's where UT operates their soil test lab. That's where it's housed. And, you know, from the time it reaches the lab and we get samples to the lab every week. We usually send them or hand carry them there on a weekly basis, you know, one day per week. And from the time they hit the lab, you know, this time of year you probably figure 10 days to 2 weeks you should get response back. And it'll be mailed back directly to whatever the contact information you provide. It can be done via email, it can be done via fax, and it can be done via regular mail.
All righty. Tell you what let's do. Let's move into our portion where we check on the traffic and weather, and we'll be back and open up the next segment of our program where the phone lines open. And if you have any questions dealing with lawns and gardens, maybe working around getting that grass looking good, maybe this is the year that you've said to yourself, I'm going to make that yard look great. And this is, you know, right on the cusp of when you need to start doing that. 893-1450 is our number. We're going to take those phone calls next on WGNS. Mitchell Mote is with us from the Rutherford County Agricultural Extension Service. 893-1450. Dial quickly and be on the air first with Mitchell.
Neighbor Talk covers issues you won't hear anywhere else. They're local issues, and we're locally owned, locally operated.
We're WGNS, Murfreesboro.
Ford of Murfreesboro offers the same great service you're used to.
Hi, I'm Jim Matthews with Ford of Murfreesboro. I've been in this organization for almost 20 years now.
Same employees, same great service.
One of the things I've been most impressed about our new ownership team is the number one emphasis on customer satisfaction. They rate that above sales, profits. Your satisfaction is our main concern.
Online at fordofmurfreesboro.com. Stop by Ford of Murfreesboro at the intersection of Broad and Northfield.
Family Staffing Solutions.
I do feel that I have been given the greatest gift. They have been over backwards to help me.
Family Staffing Solutions. Thinking about your parents. We can be there when you're not.
For the older people that have family members that are struggling with this, please understand, you only have to call this number.
Family Staffing Solutions. 848-6774. Online at familystaffing.com.
Roberts Discount Auto Repair. Honest, personal, and professional service for your car. Alignments, brakes, air conditioner, and emissions repair. Roberts Discount Auto Repair at 896-1407 on Broad, across from Ford of Murfreesboro.
Good morning. We continue to see heavy volume along Interstate 24, whether you're headed eastbound or westbound out of the Murfreesboro area, so just be very careful on this Thursday commute. Murfreesboro Road still very heavy with traffic through Smyrna and Laverne. Seeing some back of the interchange of Memorial Boulevard and Broad Street. Improvements on State Route 840, whether you're off to Wilson or Williamson County. Get an introductory one-hour massage for only $39 at Massage Envy. Gift cards also available. Call Massage Envy at Pool Springs, 615-309-7575. Or the Massage Envy in Brentwood, 615-690-3689. I'm Charlie Sonny, and it's WGNS Traffic.
Thank you, Charlie. What about that Murfreesboro weather brought to you by First National Bank of Murfreesboro?
For the forecast area, we'll have isolated showers and thunderstorms, otherwise sunshine, and a high near 92 degrees. I'm WGNS Staff Meteorologist Mandy Faluber. Currently 73.
This is Frieda Morgan with First National Bank of Murfreesboro. At my bank, you're known by your name. Come by today, 2230 Mercury Boulevard, and experience the difference at First National Bank of Murfreesboro. Member FDIC.
Good Neighbor Talk covers issues you won't hear anywhere else. They're local issues, and we're locally owned, locally operated. We're WGNS, Murfreesboro.
Baby, tell me, where'd you ever learn? Fight without saying no word. Then walks back into my life like it's all gonna be alright. Don't you know how much it hurts when we don't talk, when we don't touch, when it doesn't feel like we're.
Hey Hey, welcome back. Our number is 893-1450. This is a segment where we open up the telephone lines. If you have any lawn or garden questions for Mitchell Mote, he's here to answer those questions for you. We're at an exciting time of the year. A lot of good things happening outside, and a good time to be ready to make that yard look just perfect. Good time of the year to do some soil tests, too. 893-1450. And how is the farmer's market going? We're still at a good time for produce?
Oh, produce is really coming in very, very heavily right now, Bart. And farmer's market will be tomorrow.
Yeah, in the morning.
Yeah, 6 o'clock over there at the farmer's market building at the Lane Agri Park. And that's also this tomorrow, the 19th, will be one of the sessions of the Summer Foods Feast Cooking School.
Ooh.
Where April McKinney from here in Murfreesboro, kind of like Murfreesboro's own Rachel Ray, will be demonstrating cooking with some of this locally grown produce. She does this, I think it's on a monthly basis, and they do it in the classroom there at the Farmers Market Building. Tomorrow, and this is at 9 o'clock.
9 in the morning.
9 in the morning. It usually lasts about an hour, maybe an hour and 15 minutes, something like that. She is going to, and it costs $5. You can pay at the door, or you can call ahead and make a reservation if you want to. Just call the extension office or email the extension office and do that. But tomorrow she's going to demonstrate fresh basil and walnut pesto pasta.
I like that.
Purple hull pea dip and sauteed zucchini cakes.
I love basil.
So hey, anyone that comes, they get a recipe booklet. They get to sample those dishes.
Can you hang around a long time and sample a lot?
You know, I bet until they run out. Yeah, I bet until they run out. But anyway, it's a pretty good deal, I think. And everyone that has, April's done a good job. She's been on some national, national programs and whatnot. So it's really a good opportunity for folks to learn how to use some of this local produce. Maybe some different approaches and different recipes or cooking methods they hadn't even thought about, or maybe some combinations they haven't considered.
9 o'clock in the morning, and that's
9 o'clock at the farmers market building in the classroom.
And the farmer's market is 6 to 11?
6 to 11, yes, sir.
Okay, let's go to the phones. We got some folks with questions or comments. You're on WGNS with Mitchell Mote. How are you today?
Doing well, thank you very much.
Good.
I had a question about catalpa trees.
Okay.
I'm kind of intrigued with them. I don't know if they would do well in this climate. I have a kind of a heavy clay soil piece of property that is intermittently swarmed over with a lot of water, and then in the summer has very little water.
Yeah. Well, catalpa trees are certainly here. They grow wild. Yes, unless you just live in a place that would just absolutely drown one out, I don't see why it would not. But yes, sir, they do grow here.
Is there a particular variety of catalpa that would do better than another? And is there any place locally that I could see one to plant maybe this fall?
I don't know of any varietal selections on catalpa that I've never really seen those offered so much in nurseries and so on. So to my knowledge, there aren't any named varieties, but then there very well could be. I'm just not aware of them. And I have not, again, I haven't seen those offered. There is a at your regular nurseries now, over in, I think, in Williamson County there, and I cannot remember the name of it, but there is a nursery there that specializes in natives. That would be something that you might want to look at as a source, a potential source. And, you know, if you just happen to drive by someone's yard, you could get some seeds because they certainly make a lot of seed. And, you know, just ask them, could I get a few of your catalpa seeds and start some plants?
Do they grow quickly?
They're, well, not super fast. I mean, they're not like a mimosa, for example, that's going to grow super, super fast. But they're not a real – they're kind of a medium growth, I guess. Maybe a little on the upper side of the medium range. But yeah, not super fast, but not super slow either. Kind of middle of the road. But you might just maybe do an internet search for native plant sources in Middle Tennessee, and I cannot remember the name of the nursery that specializes, but it's next door in Williamson County.
I tell you,
all right, great.
You might also try over at Martin's Home and Garden.
Oh, there you go. Yeah, Martin's Home and Garden.
That's right here in town, right across from Demas on Broad.
Okay, great.
Ask Mr. Martin, if he doesn't have it, he might be able to direct you somewhere.
Now, one other thought came to me is Jack Carter at the Carter Farm Nursery out on Barfield Road. Now, he grows a good bit of nursery stock there. I have no idea that he would be growing those, but if you were to contact him, he might could steer you. He might know a little more surely of where you might go to find that also. So there's a couple of different options, I think, to at least look for a source for catawbas.
Good.
Great. Thank you so much.
You bet.
Talk to you later. Bye-bye. And good morning. You're on WGNS with Mitchell Moat. How are you today?
Hello.
Hello. How are you?
I'm good. I get these emails periodically throughout the year about zoysia grass.
Yes.
And they're saying that it's slow growing, so you don't have to cut it as much. It grows so thick that it keeps weeds from growing. And that eventually it spreads into like a really soft type of grass. What can you tell me about zoysia grass? Is it good for this area? And are those some of those things I'm reading actually true? And I'm going to get off so and listen on the radio.
Okay. Well, I think the majority of what you said is true. Zoysia does have some very good characteristics. It is a hot weather, warm season grass, so it only grows from frost to frost. So this fall, when it frosts, it will turn brown and go dormant, and it will stay that way until it comes out of dormancy after the danger of frost is passed next spring.
So late April?
Late April to, and depending on how cool and damp the soil is, it's going to influence how quickly it greens up. Even though it may not frost on, it can still be cool, and wet ground tends to be colder. So you don't have as long of a growing period as you do maybe with some of the other grasses, the cool season grasses. It does grow slowly. So if you plug it in or if you lay sections of sod and don't cover the entire area, it will be slower to cover, okay? And it will grow eventually, assuming that you provide for its needs. It will grow into a very dense turf. And there are zoysia lawns in Murfreesboro that you can look at, and you'd be hard-pressed to find anything but a zoysia grass plant there. You're not going to find very many weeds because they do such a good job, those zoysia grass plants do, of just covering the ground. And that ground will only support, one plant per area, okay? And so when it's covered up with zoysia grass, you don't have room for other plants to grow, so it can be weed free. Until it does get that thick, though, you do have opportunities for crabgrass and other junk to grow in there.
But will it eventually push that out?
Well, if you manage for it,
so you
can encourage. Oh yeah, it's like anything. You've got to manage it, and that means can it get too dry for zoysia grass? It can. So if it gets dry and you want it to continue to grow at a fairly vigorous rate, then you supply some irrigation to it. You've got to supply the level of nutrition it needs. But it doesn't grow as fast, and so he's right. It does not need mowing as often. I would hesitate to call soft. Use the word soft. I guess soft might be a way to describe it, but it is a carpet-like grass in terms of it just really feels different on a good stand of zoysia grass. It is supportive. It resists compression, maybe to me more than some of the other grasses do, and it's like you're walking on a cushion, and not the fact that it's so soft, but it you don't sink down on it. It's like a good firm mattress almost.
Yeah.
I mean, it's obviously not that firm, but in comparison, I can't think of any other way to describe it. Zoysia seed is available. You can get a seeded variety called Zenith. It's relatively it's like Bermuda grass. It's slow to germinate, slow to come in. But the majority of the zoysia grasses are planted either by plugs or by sod. But yes, it will grow here. You just have to if you plant it in one space and wait for it to spread, you've got to be very patient. Okay, so the more area you cover with it initially, like a lot of folks will go in and put plugs out, say every 12 inches. and they'll put, you know, 12 inches apart and 12 inches away from one another. So on a 12 by 12 center, they'll do that. The bigger the plug, then, of course, obviously the faster it will cover. But, yeah, you can do that, and you minimize competition from other plants, and you'll increase the time it would take, or you'll speed the spreading process up or the covering process up. But it can be a very nice grass. There are some, like I say, there's some very pretty zoysia grass lawns here in Murfreesboro.
Sounds though like, since it is a slow-growing grass, until you really get it growing and spread out, with the competition from weeds until you get them in the history book, since the grass grows slowly and weeds don't,
it'll be patchy.
Yeah.
Yeah, it'll be patchy. It will. And you know, another plus to the zoysia grass is it is a creeping grass. Okay. Mm-hmm. So, you know, if you're making ice cream outside on the 4th of July and spill salt water, will kill that spot. That's okay because it'll creep back in. You do that on tall fescue lawn, you've got a dead spot there. So you'll have to, you know, replace that grass. That doesn't happen on zoysia grass. But it does grow slow enough that it is not – The intensity of the battle to keep it out of your flower beds is not as great with the zoysia as it is with Bermuda grass.
Well, now, if you were one of those people who've said, this is the fall that's coming up, that I'm tired of having weeds in my yard, I'm tired of having a little of this and a little of that, I'm going to take it down to the dirt and start over, because I understand fall is the time to do that.
To do cool season grasses. Not the warm season.
Not zoysia.
That's right. Your warm season grasses, since they grow, since frost knocks them out of growing into dormancy, you plant those in the spring of the year after the danger of frost, if you're planting from seed. Now, you can lay the sod any time of the year, but as far as planting from seed or establishing from plugs or rhizomes, you're going to have a better establishment even doing it from plugs and rhizomes or sprigs in the spring, say, you know, May through July. I'd say spring, you know, spring and summer.
Okay, so wait till spring if you're doing that.
If you're doing the zoysia grass or Bermuda grass, then yeah, you'd want to establish those. But now if you're going to lay sod, I mean, you can lay dormant Bermuda grass sod, and it can be successful. Or you can lay dormant Bermuda or Bermuda zoysia grass sod and be successful. But if you're going to do it from seed or sprig it in or whatever, you need to do it after the danger of frost is passed in the spring, but you want to get it done before July or before July ends.
All righty. 893-1450 is our number. Good morning. You're on WGNS with Mitchell Moat. How are you today?
Mitchell, wondering what is the nearest thing to zoysia grass that we have in Tennessee?
The nearest thing?
What would be the closest thing to that?
Well, I mean, are you asking for something that's native to here? Or nothing? We don't have any native turf grasses. I mean, so if you want zoysia grass or something like it, we grow zoysia grass. Centipede grass is kind of like zoysia, somewhat similar in appearance, although, you know, certainly not exactly like it. And it certainly doesn't grow the same. And Bermuda.
What's the name of it again?
Centipede grass is similar to zoysia in terms of appearance.
Can you buy that co-op?
No, probably not. I mean, co-op could get it, but they're not going to have it sitting there on the shelf.
I see. Centipede grass.
Yeah, centipede is. Now, it is not the same as zoysia. I mean, it's similar to it, but if you want something like zoysia, you ought to get zoysia because it had its own separate characteristics.
Is it cheaper to go with the seed or the plugs?
You know, in the long run, it might be cheaper to go with a seed. You just want to compare the price, I guess, and see. It might be faster to go with the seed.
Faster with the seed?
Yeah, faster because, you know, you're seeding the entire area. Where if you go with plugs, all a plug is a little piece of sod, and that plug can be a 2-inch plug. And, you know, if you set a 2-inch plug on a 12-inch center, then it's got to grow, you know, to fill in a lot. But if you start it from seed and you seed that at a pound, well, there's like 1.5 million seed in a pound, you know, a pound per 1,000 feet. Well, you get, let's say if you get half those seed germinated, you already got more coverage than you had if you put the plugs out there. So
seeds are better.
Well, seeds are faster. I won't say
faster.
Better. They're faster.
Okay.
Yeah. You know, you got to keep
them
wet.
Well, I've heard a lot, been listening to your show, and I really enjoy you.
Well, thank you.
I'm not going to call in very much because my hands are busy, my mouth is busy, and
well, I understand folks have to work. I understand.
I'll be listening for you, okay?
Thanks a lot.
Thank you for calling.
Thanks for
You have a super day. Bye-bye. 893-1450 is our number, 893-1450. If you have a question for Mitchell, be next on the radio, 893-1450. We're going to check on the weather. We'll be right back. That number again, 893-1450.
If you have an iPhone or use an Android, we have an app for both. WGNS AM and FM is everywhere you need us to be, on air and on demand.
This is Sean Brown at Southeastern Tire Service, where we now offer the Michelin Promise Plan. The Michelin Promise Plan is a new offer which includes a 30-day ride guarantee, 3-year flat tire changing assistance, and a limited mileage warranty on all Michelin passenger and light truck tires, replacement and original issue. Did you know we now provide air conditioning service? Let our ASC-certified technicians get your car road-ready today.
Southeastern Tire Service, on Broad Street, across from Advance Auto.
Bell Jewelers, where quality, value, and honesty ring true.
We buy our diamonds direct from the cutters of Belgium, the diamond capital of the world. Diamonds are a symbol of your devotion, of your life together, of how far you've come.
Bell Jewelers, a cut above.
This is Greg Tidwell from Bell Jewelers, across the street from Toots in Murfreesboro. Visit us online at belljeweler.com.
We're here at the Co-op Farm and Home Center talking with Tina. We are in the garden and patio area. As you hear in the background, beautiful fountains.
We have all different kinds of fountains. We even have the nice wall fountains. You can build your own fountain out of flower pots. We have the kits that you can do that with. We also have lots of patio furniture, nice patio sets, really good concrete statuary pieces.
All of that here at the Co-op Farm and Home Center on Middle Tennessee Boulevard, just off South Church.
WeatherEye.
For the forecast area, we'll have isolated showers and thunderstorms, otherwise sunshine, and a high near 92 degrees. I'm WGNS staff meteorologist Mandy Faluber. Currently 73.
Over the years, I've encouraged you to save at Bell Furniture. Many of you have called me and said, you're right. They do have first quality name brand furniture at about half the price you pay at other stores. They have the comfortable catnapper recliner. This has both the heat and massage unit. Regular $899, but just $599 at Bell Furniture. Save with Perry Bell and Linda Ferris at Bell Furniture, 1517 the New Nashville Highway, halfway between Murfreesboro and Smyrna.
My name's Norman Bates.
Overnight turns to UFOs, the unknown.
Coast to Coast AM on WGNS, Murfreesboro.
And you'd be welcome to spend the night.
Turn around now, you're giving up the good fight.
Welcome back. 893-1450 is the number. Mitchell Mode is here answering your lawn and garden questions. And we're right on the cutting edge of time to get those lawns in shape. And fall is the time to do that for warm seasons?
For the cool season.
Cool season.
Yeah,
okay.
For the cool season.
Okay. And the difference in cool season and warm season, the cool season...
grows in cool weather.
Okay.
Fall and spring.
It's a deep subject.
It is. It's pretty doggone deep, man. I have it written on my hand, so I don't forget. You know, cool grows in cool weather, warm grows in hot weather. So, but
we have more cool season than warm.
We grow more cool season. We have more total acres of lawn and turf areas in cool season than we do in warm season because, well, for a variety of reasons, I think. You know, one is the cool season grasses, and the number one, the primary cool season grass that you're going to see is going to be tall fescue.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Now, there are a lot of varieties of tall fescue, and there's some very good quality turf-type tall fescue varieties out there. You also have heat-tolerant bluegrass or the Kentucky bluegrasses. They are cool season also. But so the tall fescues and maybe blends with tall fescue and some of the bluegrasses is going to be the dominant cool season grass plants you're going to see out there. And one reason that people prefer the cool season grasses is because they can give you the best opportunity for the longest period total throughout the year of having green grass in the lawn area, because you do have excellent growth in the spring. You do have excellent growth in the fall and in the winter. And, you know, even in the winter, it's going to be green. Now, the ends will get frostbit, and so it'll take on a yellow look, the ends will. But, you know, you part that, and then still green down underneath there. Now, in the hot weather, you know, a fellow told me one time he loved July and August in Murfreesboro. And I thought, well, why? He said, well, because everybody's yard looks just as bad as mine at that point. All right? Because hot weather is hard on them. And just depending on, you know, the particular set of circumstances at your location, you know, you may have some dead areas or some areas that get thinned out and so on, but then other places where it remains a pretty decent stand. Okay, so you don't, very seldom do you lose an entire stand. You may do some annual overseeding, okay, in the fall to keep those, to maintain good stand density. And I think that is a reason that people tend to lean more towards those than they do the warm season grasses, because the warm season, Bermuda, the Zoysia, the Centipede, they are going to turn brown at frost. Now, they're not dead, okay, but the above-ground part is in essence dead, but the plant is not dead. It's still alive, and it will stay brown until weather conditions are conducive for it to come out of dormancy next spring. And so you've got a wide window there of brown, and folks say, well, I don't like that brown color. Well, then don't use that. But now there are people who will use Bermuda grass, for instance, and they will then overseed in the fall with ryegrass. So you'll have the green color throughout the year. And that's good, but I'm thinking, you know, if you're using the Bermuda grass, take advantage of that brown, that break where you don't have anything growing out there, and you don't have to worry about mowing and so on. Because if you do have your, if you overseed it with ryegrass, then you know you still have opportunities to mow even after the Bermuda grass has gone dormant. And then you've got to wait for it to come out of to transition out of dormancy the next spring. And sometimes you may, having ryegrass on it can interfere with that a little bit, because it doesn't want to die as fast as you wanted it to, and get out of the way for the Bermuda grass to come in. But, you know, that's kind of one reason, I guess, that probably the dominant reason that people don't want Bermuda grass, and also, or the warm season grass, is it turns brown, and they creep. Okay, all of the warm season grasses creep. They spread. So they will go over into your mulch bed areas or into your flower beds or creep across the driveway and things like that. So that's just a different management mindset. You have to do a few other things, you know, to keep the place looking neat and clean that you don't do with the cool season. But it, in my opinion, it's no more difficult. It's just a different approach.
So another reason for you to come to the farmer's market tomorrow, and while you're over at the Lane Agri Park, walk over and touch, walk,
yeah,
on,
walk,
you know,
on it,
the
stomp
plots
on it,
and grass and stuff like that,
and
check it out. And then
there's some places that don't need any grass, you know. It's, yeah, just, they're not suitable. It can be shady enough and the ground just thin enough and not enough soil depth there. And that's, you know, mulch looks pretty, and you can have you know, bird baths and fountains and all kinds of neat things, and maybe a nice bench under a shade tree and a gazing ball to sit and gaze into.
And Thursday, not today, but next Thursday.
The 25th.
Brown Bag Lunch.
Brown Bag Lunch, preparation for fall lawn care, 11:30 to 12:30.
That's what we've been talking about this morning.
Have.
So you need to be there, 11:30 to 12:30 next Thursday at the Lane Agri Park. Mitchell, thank you for joining us today.
My pleasure, Bart. I've enjoyed it.
Mitchell Mote visiting with us today from the Rutherford County Agricultural Extension Service. This reminder, now is a great time to get that lawn test, soil test of your lawn, over to the Agri Center, and they'll give you whatever you need to put that in and send it off for you. Tomorrow at this time, the topic will be the Hope Clinic. Yes, the Hope Clinic, offering so much good to our community. And they have a special fundraiser coming up this weekend. That'll be part of the conversation tomorrow, right here on WGNS. Have a great day. Keep that smile on your face. You're not